Hello, and welcome to Revolutionize Your Love Life. Do you want to know more about love relationships? What makes them work? How to create the one of your best dreams? Do you want to be in a really healthy, juicy love relationship? In these podcasts, we will give ideas and practical advice to light your way. Whether you're looking for a love partner, already in a relationship you wish could be better, or leaving one that has run its course, there will be something to inspire, empower, and support you. Revolutionize Your Love Life is a fortnightly podcast where you will access the knowledge and wisdom of love experts and relationship coaches from across the world to help you find true fulfillment in love. I am your host, Heather Garbutt. Welcome.
Welcome to From Morning to Light Conversations. And I'm here with my very good friend, Heather Garbutt. She's a relationship coach. And if you want, you can go and check out her video where we have already had a conversation about relationships, and we released it on Valentine's Day, auspiciously enough. And I will link that. So if you're interested in that interview, you can go and find it. But right now, we have a very interesting topic, which is, what is success? What does it mean for you to feel successful? And we're just going to have a conversation about it. And you're welcome to join us for this ride. So Heather, welcome back to From Morning to Light Conversations. It's such a pleasure to have you back.
Oh, it's lovely to be with you, Sadie. You know that. I just enjoy talking to you, whether we record or not. Let's just see where our wings will take us.
Okay, so we started chatting before we started recording, and then we decided it was too good to keep to ourselves, that we're going to share it. So, from that landing point of what does it mean to be successful, you start, Heather. How do you measure your success in your world?
It's a funny thing, because we were talking about, you know, how do you know how much money you're going to need to retire? You know, those are the things from the external world. And then we both said, well, I don't want to retire. And for me, particularly, this is what I said, I won't put these words in your mouth. This isn't about what I do that I want to stop doing. This is about who I am, and I'm not going to stop being this. So in a sense, the external world view of retirement doesn't apply to me, because, you know, I'm going to be doing this as long as I can work Zoom and talk, because I love what I do so much. And for me, that's quite a measure of success. And it's how I feel about what I do. And, you know, you were saying about living and being your work. I mean, maybe you say a bit too before we go any further.
Okay, so you mentioned that it's not a job that you want to leave, or it's not a job you feel you have to go to. So it's not like it's separate from your life. It is your life. And it's so interesting. As an architect, there's a book called Pattern Making. I can't think of the author now, but it's an old book, and it's been around for a long time. And it talks, if you start reading the book, the first chapter starts with where you live your life. And are you living your life at home, or are you living most of your life at work? And there are these two different places in your life. There's your workplace and your life place. And we put so much effort and money and time into making our homes these beautiful sanctuaries. And then we're spending 99% of our time either asleep there or at our place of work. And it struck me, why do they have to be two separate things? And that was long before Zoom and remote working. It was long before COVID, long, 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 long before Facebook even existed.
Beautiful.
Before the internet was in everybody's pocket. But it was a very interesting question. So now to come back to what we're talking about is our way of working is our lives. We work in the space where we live, and we work in a way that's part of who we are, as opposed to another persona that we have to put on and go to work to do. So when you come to that, when do you retire? And like you said, we don't. And how did I come to this? I came to this because I was guided. So, am I successful? I don't feel that I am because I'm measuring it against people who are entrepreneurs. They've driven and they're talking about their six-figure months. And I don't feel like I'm in that lead. In fact, I don't even feel like I'm in the same room as them because that's not my objective. How am I successful? I'm successful in that I'm following my guidance. That is actually true success. And it's only coming to me now as I'm talking about it, because if you can discern the guidance and follow it, then more guidance will follow. So every now and then I'll get worried about the future. Where will I have enough money to retire, right? But the reality of it is I will continue to be guided. So there's no point in worrying about that. The point is to just keep following the guidance, because we're in service, Heather. I think that is the big difference. We deeply want to help people on so many levels. And so I know that you've just told me you have a course out that helps people. So from there, could you talk into your course? How is it structured and how does it help people? And what is it helping them with, Heather? I'm very curious to hear.
Well, this is interesting because, in a way, it talks to the worldly. What I noticed when I'd finished doing my coach training is that we'd all got the inner work, love and relationship. I do conscious uncoupling and calling in the one, lifetime of love coaching for new couples. All of that is great, and I can really do the stuff. But in terms of visibility, running a business, resourcing a business, handling all the marketing, nobody was really teaching that. And the other piece that was missing, we'd all done about our relationships with love, but we hadn't done our relationships with money, visibility, and success. And they're fundamental. If you have a belief around love that I'm always alone, nobody ever chooses me, the chances are you're going to have something similar around money. I don't deserve to have money. I don't deserve to have success. And if you've got something about visibility, my needs aren't important. I'm invisible to other people. Your business is likely to be invisible to other people because you're living from that identity. So this is the piece that I've written about. And oh, this is a lot here. It's not just about where you came in your family of origin. It's your heritage. It's the culture. It's your sexual identity or orientation. Oh, what's the word? The sense of where you are in the world. In Britain, there's a lot of class stuff, maybe less so in other parts of the world, but there's lots of racial stuff. Where do you feel you sit in any sort of pecking order that you have in yourself that creates your inner glass ceiling, the place where you stop? So you've got all of the stuff about core beliefs about yourself that come from your family of origin and your upbringing. So for me, let's just trace it out to make it similar. Simple. I was brought up in the north of England in a mining area. I was different from everybody else at the school that I went to because they all came from mining villages and I came from a slightly more well-to-do village just a little further away. So I was alone and didn't belong, but I also felt privileged. And yet, in the village that I came from, we were on the bottom of the financial pecking order. So that's quite a lot to get your head around. And in the north of England, it's actually much changed now, but there is still a north-south divide. And the south is considered much a much better place to live. I actually heard somebody once say, "I don't know why we bothered educating people in the north. They're all thick." Yeah, I actually heard somebody in a pub in the south of England say that. It was my boss's husband, would you believe, at the time. That was an interesting conversation. So those are the things that I can identify. Oh, and I'm a woman. Those are the things that I can identify that all contribute towards the glass ceiling that I have. So I need to address that sense of internalized inferiority before I can do anything else. If we look at visibility, my upbringing was little girls should be seen and not heard, be pretty in pink, sit still on chairs, don't shout, don't be boisterous. Yeah, and so if I wasn't that, then I was disapproved of. At school, there were heavy demands. So there would be all of us standing around the room doing mental arithmetic. And if you got one wrong, that the teacher asked you, you had to sit down. So I would get very stressed by that. So that visibility where I was being tested really wasn't safe for me. So I'm not safe unless I'm quiet. And then when I'm asked to speak up, I'm so scared I can't even think. You can see that that sort of cultural thing will make visibility very unsafe. You couple that with being pretty little girl in pink, I want doesn't get sort of messaging. So, am I ever going to ask anybody to work with me? Am I ever going to ask what I'm worth? I do, but I had to work through all of this lot first. And what does success mean? I remember the envy from my northern village upbringing of people in the south who were well to do, who went to better schools than me, who had better social connections than me. So they were all implicitly successful without having to lift a finger. So there's all that in the mix as well. And that's me as a white British Western woman with all of those advantages. And, if I was gay, that would be different. If I was a person of colour or a coloured person, I don't know what the latest best practice of that is, that would be different. If I was an immigrant, that would be different. If I didn't speak English as my first language, that would be different. So I think I've given a very huge roundabout way of saying what the course is about. We address all of those things.
So Heather, how do you address them? Can people discover their identity through doing the course? And then how do they heal from those social and cultural impositions, as it were?
Well, the first thing is they have me with them because the ways that we've learned to protect ourselves way back of the ways that we've formed our beliefs about ourselves. And, in some places, it's not safe to be a black woman walking around after dark, So it's not to say that we can solve everything. We can't solve the external, but we can ex solve how we feel. So, I would be with you to hold your hand while you let go of the self-protections very gently. The initial thing was really to look at what you want and really get a clear vision of that and how you want to feel. So, we ask ourselves, what does success mean to me? For me, it would be, oh, just feeling peaceful in myself All my bills are paid. There's extra money in the bank. I'm actually in service and it's successful in the world. I'm reaching people beautifully and in enhancing their love relationships. You know my mission to 10 million people worldwide. And I accidentally said 20 the other day. So you never know, I may be up in my game. But it's that sort of thing would make me feel successful. To know that the drops I can put in the ocean will make other people's love relationships better and communication skills better, self-responsibility better. That's success for me. Not at my cost. I'm equally of value. So that's what success would mean. It might mean something different for you. I don't know. Do you want to say what it would mean for you? And then we'll go back into the course.
Sure, we can do that. As you were talking, I was following what you were saying, obviously, but then I just got a thought that came in and it said, could your success be measured by how many people you've helped? So I equate that to I went into this not knowing what it was. So let me back up a little bit and just describe it. I was a professional architect and I was running a practice and I was quite familiar and comfortable doing that process. And then my husband died suddenly, Paul died. So most of the people watching this will know that story. But for those that don't, it was a sudden death. Paul had a motorcycle accident. And there are many other videos you can go and watch about that. On my website are some podcasts I've been on where I talk about that in more depth if you'd like to go and watch that. So here I was, suddenly a widow. I didn't have a home. I didn't have a job. I didn't even own furniture. And that whole story is in the podcast on my website. And I'll put that in the show notes. So I find myself at a crossroads in my life. And I always speak about the threshold of you can either cross over the bridge and move on into the unknown, which takes an incredible amount of courage, or you can turn around and run back the way you've come, head back to safety. And so I took a big leap into the unknown, came to Italy, and my whole life changed. I wasn't an architect anymore. I couldn't practice architecture because they speak Italian in Italy. And so, with my guidance, with this incredible guidance, I was guided to go to Tony Robbins's Unleash the Power Within. And from there, I was guided to put together chapters and courses on how to help people in grief. And from there, I was guided to meet people one-on-one. And from there, it just grew and grew and grew. And then I started to do online events. So I put together From Morning to Light online events. And from there, it just grew, and I've met people and collaborated with people. So that's just to give you a tiny little nutshell of how the guidance worked. And I had no idea where it was guiding me, Heather. But now people say, oh, you're helping me so much. That feels like success to me. So I offer these transformation courses where I invite people to come and heal their ancestral trauma, their past life trauma, and maybe it's even a future life. So now I've started to call them parallel lives. And Heather, you know this personally because you've done this transformational course with me. So maybe we could describe success as even if we just help one person, that is success. because it helped to make their life better.
Yeah, that's really very beautiful. Yes. The thing that I notice is different about our approaches is that I have the vision of how somebody wants to be and feel as the beginning for that they set an intention from, which is the classic sort of feminine coaching model. It's not goal setting, it's intention setting from the heart. And what I'm hearing for you, it's subtly different. And tell me if I've got this wrong, that you didn't know where you were going each step of the way. You just knew the next step.
Okay, so let me speak into that a little bit more. I went to see someone for Reiki sessions after Paul died because the psychotherapist was just talking to me. I was in a tremendous amount of shock. I had PTSD. My husband had an accident moments before I arrived on the scene. He was on a motorcycle and I was following in the car behind. So there was a lot of trauma with that. And then he was alive for a bit, was taken to two hospitals. And at the second hospital, he did pass away from the severity of his wounds. But when I arrived on the scene, initially after the accident, he was dead, okay? And then he resuscitated. And then through the two hospitals and two hospital journeys, he just didn't survive. But I knew from when I arrived on the scene that he was dead. And I just had this deep knowing he wasn't going to make it. I had a kind of, well, let's wait and see. I'd already had the shock that he was dead, and then he resuscitated. But I kind of knew he wasn't going to make it. And so from that, I went to see a psychotherapist, and I knew that wasn't going to help. And from that, someone suggested Reiki, and I actually do Reiki. So I thought, okay, let me give it a try and go and see someone. And it changed everything in my grief journey for me. This really gentle, beautiful woman just wrapped me in a soft blanket. She grabbed my feet and she rocked me gently, and I cried for an hour and a half solid. It was like my body could finally release it and cry it out. And I had a lot of sessions with her. And the interesting thing that started happening was she would say, Paul's guides are here and they've got a message for you. Each time I went to Reiki session, it was an amazing. After Paul died, I think I went to Reiki about a few weeks after he died, maybe 2 or 3 weeks. I started Reiki sessions and messages. That's when the guidance started. The messages came through. And this beautiful lady who was doing Reiki on me said to me, her name is Lamar. She said, Sadie, this has never happened before. I perform the Reiki, I do the Reiki, but I've never had people's guides come through and talk to me, let alone somebody who's passed away. That's where the guidance started, Heather. And then when I came to Italy, Tony Robbins inspired me with his Unleash the Power Within. It was COVID, everyone was at home. I was teaching English online to Chinese children, which I didn't enjoy that much, to be honest. It was grueling. Didn't like it. And he suggested, well, what do you know? What is your experience? What skills do you have? And how could you turn that into something that can help others? And that was the guidance again. How can I help others? I've got tools. I know how to meditate. I know Reiki. I know how to guide people into past lives. I've done breath work. Yeah, I've done all the spiritual modalities while I was an architect. It was my hobby. And then it just inspired me to go out there and help other people who are grieving. But the key component here, Heather, is I was feeling tremendous compassion for other people who were going through grief. Because I was on Facebook groups and I could see that they didn't have tools like I did. They didn't have guidance. They were lost. And I thought, oh, I can help them. I know what to do. And I mean, I couldn't answer them in the comments quickly enough or comprehensively enough. I mean, all of that got to the point where, okay, you have the tools. I've been through it. I can help people. It took a huge amount of courage to do it, Heather. I don't have coaching training. I'm not a psychologist. I just followed the guidance.
And speaking as somebody who does have psychotherapy and coaching training, I have learned stuff with you I've never learned with anybody else. And you have such beauty and grace in the holding that you have. It's something I think we share. We're both channels for love. And the love that emanates from you that makes things safe, and the wisdom that you have from your experience. And I think just your basic character, who you are as a human being, is so safe, so trustworthy, so kind, wise, and loving. That's the security that anybody needs to be able to grow. And then you've got all your skills on top of that. It's just amazing. The way that you guide is phenomenal.
Thank you, Heather. I thank you. That's really beautiful for you to say that.
So,
But as I tell everybody, it's not me, it comes through me. I just allow it to come, Heather.
I know what you mean. I know what you mean. And you have to be a willing vessel. And you do have to translate. And you do have to have the basic knowledge and wisdom somewhere to be able to receive. I know I don't pretend to be as open a channel as you, but I know that I'm a channel for love. And the images and wisdom that comes through does not belong to me. I was an art psychotherapist, so all of the images that come from working with that also come in dreams and intuitive knowledge. I don't think that's me either. That would not be held in the container of my personality as human and messed up as everybody else's is, It's something that you have to be willing to embrace. So it's very, very powerful. I see it in you in your ways, and I know it in me in my ways. And you have all of that you offer. Oh, magic stuff. And I don't mean literally magic, although it may be. And I have mine. And mine may have a structure that runs through it. But ultimately, I think we're both aiming at the same thing, for each of our people that we work with to be fully themselves, to be able to tap into their own wisdom, to love themselves. And I don't mean that in a narcissistic sort of way. I just mean healthy love. That's what we're wanting for our people. And there's success, isn't there?
That is beautifully said, Heather. Thank you. You're very articulate.
You're okay. Thank you.
I think that what you do is you create a safe space for people. Because I know that I feel very safe around you, and I feel I can trust you with things that are close to my heart. I know that you're not someone who judges quickly or easily. Very intuitive. You're very intuitive. You're probably more of a channel than you realize, because there's this real gentleness around you, Heather, that makes people feel safe. So, yeah, both of us are on this path of we will genuinely want to help people. So we're both authentic in it. We're living our life's work. And that's probably the best success that we could ask for.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
It's not always about the money.
No.
But the important thing to say about money is we all need to live. We all deserve to put food on the table. We all deserve to be able to clothe ourselves and have a roof over our heads and not be stressed about it. All of us deserve that. I think that's, when they talk about the various charters of countries and what people need to feel safe and secure, I think a roof over someone's head, security of food, happiness, I think those things are more important
Yeah.
than airy fairy ideals. Although free speech and
Oh, you'll have
that
to say that
needs
again. You got lost there. You went blah, blah,
blah,
blah.
blah. So the freedom of speech and all of the things in the charters and all of the idealistic things that countries want to say that they're about, I think humanity needs to be safe. They need to feel safe. They need to come out of survival mode. And I think it's not the responsibility of somebody else to make sure that you're safe, but I really do feel the powers that be that are shaping and guiding our world need to shift into making sure that humanity feels safe and secure.
Indeed.
And you and I, in our little part, are doing what we can in that realm, is to help people to, yes, sure, you've had cultural difficulties, you've had racial difficulties, you've had like unbelievable childhood traumas and challenges, and yet here you are now and you're okay. It's that we have the opportunity to fix those things, and we should. And if someone comes across your radar and they can help you fix your ancestral trauma, your past life trauma, your childhood trauma, grab it with both hands and do it. Do it. I can't urge people enough, because that's where the future of humanity is going. Heal. So if we are healed, then we won't want to harm anyone else.
And each bit that we do, we are a drop in that ocean that makes the wave of love.
So I see you and I as the pioneers, because I think the whole world is going to come on board with that philosophy, that humanity is stepping up out of survival into thriving mode, and that we all support and lift each other up. That doesn't mean there won't be any more conflict. There might still be wars or protests. There might still be those things, because everyone's entitled to their perspective and their point of view. It doesn't mean those things fall away completely, and you need tension in the bow in order for the arrow to go forward. So those tensions aren't going to disappear completely. So all those people with the rose-colored glasses going la la la, peace, 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 no. But what it does need is an equilibrium.
Yeah, and I think for myself, every bit of relationship skill I can teach allows much more for both and as well as either or. And we need both of them, which is bends your brain a little bit. But if we can be self-responsible and we can work out when we're being triggered by what's from the past or past lives or parallel lives, however you want to word it, if we know when we're triggered, we can take responsibility, we can take care of ourselves rather than acting that out, either with our partner or with the driver in the next car or, across border pathways with tanks and drones. It's so much better, so much better. If we're not in competition for who's right, but in competition for who can be the most loving at the best, if we're going to be in competition at all, let's do it for that.
That makes perfect sense, Heather. So if you think of it on a global scale, if your relationship is healed, your intimate relationship, it starts with you healing you in order to bring that to the relationship. So it starts with self, and then self and money, because money is a manifestation of your energy. So money is just energy. Is there an abundance of it or isn't there? And if there isn't an abundance of it, why not? And if we can blow up all the preconceived ideas about things and the notions we have about things, and if we could just be honest with ourselves about our relationship with ourselves, our relationship with money, our relationship with our significant other. And if there is no significant other, our relationship with the people in our inner circle, then it just moves up from there. So if each world leader did this, can you imagine what a different world we'd be living
Absolutely.
in? Yeah. So we've gone from the personal to the global stage. We've spoken about money and what does it mean to be successful. We've spoken about relationships. We've really set the world to rights,
I think we have, and we've done it within our allotted time.
Okay, so Heather, what is the name of your course and how can people find you?
If people come to my website, they can book a free half hour. It's a love and relationship website, heathergarbutt.com. And from there, I'll talk to you about the program much more fully. It's not something I've advertised, it's just because we were talking. It's come out to be talked about.
Okay, and what do you call it, Heather?
Conscious business success.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Okay, so all of this will be in the show notes for everyone. And if you want to find me and find out more about my story and what's been going on in my life and how you can work with me if you'd like to, you can find everything in the show notes as well. Everything's on my website too. Thank you for watching. Please like, share, subscribe, all those good YouTube things that gets us more visibility if you like this video and so that we can continue to make more. Thank you for being my guest, Heather.
Oh, it's an absolute joy as ever. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life. I'd like to know what has been your biggest takeaway from this conversation. Do take a minute and share this with us and visit us on our Facebook page. You can connect with me personally on my email at heather@heathergarbutt.com. If you can think of someone who will benefit from listening to this podcast, please do share it with them. If you have any feedback on how I can improve it, please do reach out to me as I'm always keen to learn more. Thank you so much again for listening. And we'll meet again on the next episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life.